name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. Peace be with you. And again, peace be with you. Only having said this does Jesus get on with what he came to do. But first, twice, peace be with you. Now, this isn't just a greeting. It's not just an alternative to bonjour or hi or guten tag or hola or even zah. And it's not just a wish. Jesus says it in a way that makes it so, twice. St. Augustine, writing about this passage, says, reiteration is confirmation. Peace be with you. And that peace, it's not just the absence of war. It's God's shalom, God's healing, God's wholeness. To a bunch of folks huddled in a locked room, afraid. Afraid of the religious authorities, afraid that they might be next for the same kind of ugly, painful, shameful kind of death that their friend Jesus just went through. Afraid, maybe, of Jesus, whom the women said is risen from the dead. But dead people back then, just like now, don't tend to come back. And nobody wants an angry remnant after them. Especially since, remember, they ran away. Yeah, they were afraid. Then Jesus appears. Peace be with you, he says. This is the kind of peace that stills the storm, that stills fears. And only after he'd said that, only after he enacted that peace be with you, only then, but immediately, he moves to commission them. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And only then does he breathe on them, receive the Holy Spirit, equips them, gives them power, breathes, emphaseo in Greek. It's the same word that the Septuagint, the Greek Hebrew Bible, that God breathes into Adam, the breath of life, or that in Ezekiel, the breath that reanimates the dry bones. By the way, it's the only time this word is used in the entire New Testament. But then Jesus adds something a little peculiar. He says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, sometimes this sentence has been used in ways that don't quite fit. Sometimes it's been used as a command to the church as a whole or to the clergy, giving power to arbitrate who is or is not worthy of forgiveness, who is or is not forgiven. But here's a time when grammar matters. For you grammarians, it's written in what's called subjunctive mood. So it's more like, if you do this, this happens. If you do that, something else happens. Something like a description, maybe. Like, sins are retained or forgiven based on the work you all have been given to do. Which kind of implies a warning of, so don't mess it up. Now, this is John's Gospel, so unlike the account from Luke in his second book, Acts, that we heard first this morning, there's no 40 or 50 days between the resurrection and the ascension. There's no wait for the Holy Spirit. The passage we read is the same day as the resurrection. We read it a few weeks ago on the Sunday after Easter. And the next bit following today's gospel is about tongues. So it's the first day of the week, sometimes called the eighth day, the first day of the new creation. There are some baptismal fonts, one at General Seminary, one at one of the churches I served in Minnesota, which have eight sides. They depict the new creation, 7 days of creation and the eighth one, the new creation into which the baptized person is initiated. The day of the new creation when Jesus breathes into his new creation just as God breathed into Adam. But the disciples in that upper room don't seem to have gotten the message. Because a week later, after Jesus was there, after he breathed on them, they're still upstairs in that room. Except Thomas was able to make it that week. It is a perfect example They believe the resurrection, but they're still upstairs in that locked room, still hiding out, still not going off to do what Jesus has given them to do. It seems that faith, even when one has received the Holy Spirit, isn't perfect. And that's good for us to know. Jesus shows up to the disciples again, peace be with you, and invites Thomas to see the marks of crucifixion. It's true that the disciples were called to do something more than they were able to do, to believe better than they were capable of, to have more faith than it seemed they could. But with Christ's peace, the shalom of God, the healing, wholeness, stilling of fear, the new creation, the recreation of the world and of we humans, is begun, using fragile, imperfect humanity. To get out of that upstairs room, out of that little band of brothers and sisters, out of that fear and out into the world, to proclaim the good news and reconcile all things to God.